Welcome to The Grind on punkradiocast.com. This is Chris coming at you, and we have volume 29, a heavy, heavy volume coming your way today. Heavy in a couple different senses. Heavy in the style of music that we're playing? Yes. Heavy in the amount of stuff we are bringing your way? Yes. Let's see what we have here. Stacy Steele, our good friend in Calgary, caught up with Ollie, the lead singer from Johnny Truant, as well as Liam from the Cancer Bats. So we have a couple interviews coming your way, along with music from those artists as well. Four from the mailbox, count them, four from the mailbox artists are going to be sandwiched in between the Johnny Truant and Cancer Bats interviews. That's not enough though, because we're throwing a contest your way where you can pick up a brand new disc that's just recently been let out into the masses. More details on that coming up in the From the Mailbox segment. Before we get into any of the interviews, we're going to have to kick it off with some music. Let's do it upright. Johnny Truant with Last Arm of the Apocalypse on The Grind, Volume 29. We'll be right back.
everyone. This is Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com. I'm sitting here speaking with...
Ollie from Johnny Sherman.
How are you today?
Sick as a dog, but happy.
That's good.
I think I got hit with flu this morning. I feel like I've been punched in the face, but I'm happy.
Tell us a little bit about your album that came out this year.
Straight in with the big album question there.
Oh, absolutely.
No warm-up, nothing.
Oh, that's it. It gets easier as it goes on.
Yeah, no. We put a record out a couple months ago on Distort. It's called No Tears for the Creatures. We recorded it in our hometown in Brighton. And I'm super proud of it. We made a lot of changes to our sound with the new record. And it's also the first time we've ever written for five piece. So it's an exciting time. And we're out touring it super hard right now. We've been on tour now for 2 months, and we're out for another few months, so it's exciting. We're really enjoying playing songs off the new record, and yeah.
You've recorded 3 demos under this name before renaming the band after the lead character in the novel House of Leaves. Explain in a nutshell what that's all about, with your name being Johnny Truant.
The book House of Leaves, I guess. We're all, we're fans of the book. And the book is it's amazing. It's so amazingly written, and the way it's presented is very different to normal books. Some of the layouts on the page are really strange. Some of it's written backwards, some of it's written sideways. It's a very challenging read, and we felt that being connected to that was sort of where our band comes from with heavy music. Like, we don't try to tie ourselves down to a particular style. We just like to be free with what we do with Mel. So, and also we wanted a name that wasn't, the knife from the rose cuts deep through the autumn mist, or whatever these bands have, these ridiculous names. I think our band, you don't really know what it's going to be, and that entices people to listen to it. Maybe people that haven't heard heavy music before wouldn't be put off by checking it out,
It used to be called The Severance. What other names did you go by before you decided on Johnny Truant? What other crazy names did you throw around before you decided
Before Severance, before I joined that, it was called Snatch, actually. Snatch.
There's a nightclub in town called Snatch.
I said that, yeah. I think the names we had before... To be honest, we didn't really know. We weren't very professional about what we were trying to do. We certainly weren't choosing to take a career in music and sort of play our music full time. I think when the band changed its name to Johnny Truant, was sort of the turning point where we decided that we wanted to do the band and that we believed in what we did. And so the previous names that we had sort of just, it feels kind of like more like a sort of an introduction to music as opposed to sort of a serious thing, the name is interesting, and I think people should read the book, because the book is absolutely fantastic.
Do you have a favourite song on your new record?
Favourite song? Go through sort of phases of favourite songs on the new record. My favourite songs, I'd say, one called Widower, which Wade from Alex on Fire sings on, which is really fun to play and really different for us. And then I'd probably say Crush and Devour or Death Rides, probably my other favourites.
Right. Is this the album that you decided to create the soundtrack to your imminent death?
I think that was our last album.
Was your last one?
I mean, where that came from, I don't even know. I think we must have been drunk or high or something when that one came about. I think those quotes on Biles are hilarious. I think we're so used to reading the same old shit, Same old boring thing. We just wanted to write something ridiculous. So we tend to sort of be a bit over the top, and we've always tried to be a bit shocking with what we do.
Is there anything you would have done differently while you were recording your album, and since it's been out, how have your reactions been from your fans and listeners?
There's always things that I do differently. I would have mostly liked to have got along a lot better when we were doing it. It was really stressful. Writing it was so stressful. I think it was because the pressure really affected us. We hadn't really... The record before, our guitar player, Stu, would bring, bring kind of like the bones of a song in, and that would be what we would base the rest of the, you know, all of us would fit around that. Whereas with this new record, we literally got five people in a tiny room, like probably like 10 foot by 10 foot, and we sat looking at each other for like 6 hours and just argued until we got a song out of it. And you know, when you've got six, you know, five dudes that are all very strongly opinionated and very passionate, there was a lot of heads that were butted when we were doing the record. But I think that with the benefit of hindsight looking back on it, I think that's why it sounds the way it does. Like, it does have lots of different vibe on it, and it does sound really pissed off and angry, and we were really pissed off and angry when we were doing it. There were a lot of times when I didn't even know if I wanted to do it anymore. It was pretty moody. Thanks very much. It was a hard time, but it was really fulfilling as well. Like, we, you know, I think at the end, when we sort of step back away from it and listen to it, was great. And we made a big decision to record in Brighton before we did a lot of work on the last record in the States. We wanted to be at home for this one, which made a big difference because we were able to relax a lot more, and it gave us more time in the studio. And
did you record most of it in the UK?
We recorded all of it in the UK. The album before, we recorded a bunch of it in the States. But it was nice to be home and like be around our like creature comforts, and you know, that was definitely good. And we wanted to work with sort of younger producers, so we chose to work with two guys, Dan Weller and Justin Hill, who were in a band that we've toured with a lot of times in the UK, who really understood what we were about, so that we didn't have to build any relationships throughout the recording. It was just
go in and get it done.
Yeah, straight away we sort of had a great friendship existing, and they really knew what we wanted to get out of the record. So if anything, I'd say, like, if I was going to change it, I mean, you know, there's always things that you would want to change about a record, I think, when you finish it, because they never really come out how you expect them to. What I would say about this record is it's given us a really big kind of drive to record again. We want to, like, go and, you know, we want to put music out very soon. Again, it's given everyone a big creative high, so we're excited to, like, record again.
Would you plan on doing that?
Where?
Yeah, when?
I don't
when and where?
To be honest, I don't know. You know, it's always hard because we didn't know. We were going to have November off, and we were going to write in November, but now we've just had a tour confirmed in the States. So we won't be doing that, and then we then come home and we do a headline tour in the UK, so we don't have any time over Christmas. So maybe in January time or something along those lines.
Yeah! Ollie from Johnny Turin, and you're listening to The Grime of Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com.
What was your reaction when your album got leaked out on the net, and what is your view on downloading as a whole?
I actually didn't care when the album leaked. Put so much effort into the record before to not make it leak because we were so nervous about it. This time around, I just think it's like, it's something that I think if you're in a band, you just have to embrace now. It's impossible to get around it. I don't know a single band that has gotten around it. Like, I think there was a record that I heard the other day that like only leaked like a week before or something, which I thought was amazing. I mean, obviously it sucks, and especially like for smaller bands like ourselves, mm-hmm. that are, you know, record sales is a massive deal, mm-hmm. you know, and money is a big deal mm-hmm. to us. You know, we sleep in a van, we eat, you know, the cheapest possible things we can from Walmart. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know, that the money side of it is an issue, but mm-hmm. I think we had our tour in place, and we were just like, the record I think leaked about a month before the release, and we were just like, cool, at least kids will hear the record before the tour and be stoked on the new songs, you know.
Do you find that when they're in the audience and they're singing along with you, does that get you?
That you know,
yeah.
that they've leaked, they've downloaded the album.
They're excited. And
yeah, totally. But like, you know, I think nowadays, like, downloading is just, it's just a play. It's they've got to find the next, like, logical step for the industry to take to deal with it. I don't think it's a case of them being able to prevent it, because it's just too much of a floodgate, you know what I mean? It's just a massive issue that's never going to be solved. But yeah, I mean, it was a bummer, but the last record, I mean, we went to great lengths to try to stop it leaking, and it still leaked. So this time around, when we discussed it with the label, we were like, do we want to spend all this money, like, watermarking the CDs that we sent out to journalists and to labels and stuff, or do we just want to save that money because it's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, fuck it, we'll, you know, don't worry, we'll just send it out. And right. You got to embrace downloading, I think.
You covered a song by the Cancer Bats called French Immersion. Can you tell us why you decided to cover that song and what inspired you to do that one?
Yeah, we're doing the demos for our album, and we were bored as hell, and we'd never done a cover before. Like, even since we started this band, like, 8-9 years ago, we'd never, like, played a cover. So we were like, we could probably do a cover sometime. And I've always wanted to cover that song. The Cancer Bats are, like, some of our bestest friends in the world. When we met those guys and formed a really, really tight friendship with them from day one, about 2 years ago. And I always thought that the nicest way to sort of repay a friendship like that is to do a cover. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice to step back from recording the demos at the time, because that was really stressful, and like, do something fun. So we sort of just sat there for the day and sort of figured out how we were going to do it and make it a bit more like Johnny Truant sort of covering the Cancer Bats as opposed to a straight up cover. And then we went in and recorded it. It's been awesome. We've been playing it on this tour. I mean, obviously we're not with the Cancer Bats now, but before we were playing with the Cancer Bats on our headline shows, we were playing it, and it was really fun, and kids were stoked. That's awesome. It's a wicked song.
Toured with Killswitch Engage, Alexis on Fire, The Fall of Troy, and a bunch of others, and are friends with the Cancer Bats, of course. All bands that people idolize. Do you find there's anyone in the world that would still make you drop everything to tour with?
Well, we've all got really eclectic and different music tastes in our band. I'd really like to do Leeds and Reading Festival in the UK. I know it's not a band per se, but that's a festival I've always wanted our band to play. I mean, I don't know, I'd love to play with a huge metal band like Metallica properly. We have played with Metallica at a festival, but, you know, I'd like to play one of their shows. That would be fun. We've played with some amazing bands. I mean, if there were bands I could choose to tour with, like any band that I choose to tour with, to be honest, and as cheesy and as it sounds, it would probably be like something like this tour I'm on right now. You know, these guys, they're the best people I know. These guys in Alex on Fire, and they both changed our lives so much, like coming into our band and enhanced our band. They've helped us out in Canada. We've sort of returned favours for them in the UK, and it's so nice when you can go on tour with your friends and just be around each other all the time. Like, being from England, I don't get to hang out with Alexis or with the Bats, and so when we're over here, it's just like we always have to scramble for time to be around each other. So touring together is just the best. We're sharing a van with Black Lungs, which has got Wade from Alexis, and George is playing bass. Also Pat from Better and Soundcast is playing drums for them, so it's just a really nice vibe. Everyone gets along, and yeah, I'd probably choose all these bands again if I was to choose another tour, and we'll definitely keep doing it, because I think that's the most fun thing about this. Do you know what I mean?
Any crazy stories you want to tell us?
I'm gonna shout across to our drummer, because I always get asked this question. Right. Crazy story, and I always forget. Tell me a crazy one. Never can think of any crazy stories, but there's so many crazy stories. Yeah, okay. When we came to Canada the first time, we came over here on our first across Canada tour. We had a tour. Our label hooked us up with this tour manager who got like a bunch of our money on the first day and bought loads of cocaine. And we found out the next day when he was covered in cocaine in bed that we had this maniac on the road with us who'd spent all of our money on drugs. So we had to kind of fire him and get home from Montreal, which was seriously probably the most scariest thing I've ever done in my life, because it was the worst weather conditions I've ever seen, especially for British people. When we have snow, it's like, you know,
a centimetre.
Yeah, like a bean falls out of the sky and no one goes into work in England, you know. If we have like an inch in England, there are people that don't go into work.
Everything shuts down.
Yeah, we're just not equipped, and everyone goes, ooh! You know, whereas when we came over here last, it was, you know, there was just so much snow, we didn't know what we were doing, you know, and so driving with this crazy bastard from Toronto was looking after us. Luckily, we got another guy in, and he gave us the money back, and it was all cool, but there's so many stories. Like, being in a band is the craziest time ever. It's like the best thing and the worst thing. It's kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde for me. Been doing it a long time. I adore playing. Adore playing music, and I love playing shows. But it's very
hard work.
Do
you feel this is what you were meant to be doing right now?
I don't know, to be honest. I love it, and I believe in it, and that's why I've been doing it for how long I've been doing it. But I don't know. Like, it's been a big struggle for us. You know what I mean? But this record is really changing things. Off the back of this record, we got a deal in the States, which has all been a dream for us. Has been to put our record out in the States. It's very hard being a British band and getting attention in the States, because it costs so much money to tour there. When you know, there's, I think a lot of labels feel that what's the need for us to sign a band from the UK when we can sign a band, you know, of a similar style from Florida and buy them a van and send them on tour for 4 years, you know what I mean, or whatever. For a British band to go, there's, you know, a lot of costings to cover. So for us to sign a deal over there was huge, and also to sign to Ferret, who are a label that, you know, we've respected from the minute we started playing, you know, in this band. There was a label that I aspired to be on. We signed to them a month or so ago, and I don't think it settled in, really, that we're working with a label like that. Some of the bands, they have a huge influence on us, so the doors are starting to open for us. It's a really exciting time.
How do you find being British, even though we spent a lot of time in Canada? Do you find the business of being in a band different over there compared to here? Are the crowds different? And
I think everything about being over here is different. I mean, we were talking about this the other day with the Bats. We were sort of having a big debate about this. I mean, especially with, I think, in Canada, being in a band, I think, is very different. The government is so supportive of music and the arts, which I think is fantastic. I think it's nice to be a British band in another country, especially over here in Canada. We're very well received. People are interested in us, and also have a respect for the fact that we've come all the way over, which makes a huge difference. And I also think that there are no British bands that bother to come to Canada. You know, what tends to happen with most like British bands, which there aren't many that are touring, they tour the States and then they'll maybe pop up into Toronto, Vancouver, maybe get up to Montreal and then come straight back down to the States, whereas we're extensively touring the East and West Coast which we've been doing for 2 years. And we're building a big fan base from that, which is awesome.
I think Canada is, and I'm not just saying it, pretty much our favourite place to play. We just have a lot of fun here. And I think I tie that in with the friends we have. The promoters are great over here, really look after us. So we're big fans of Canada. That's why we're here all the time. A lot of people think we're Canadian.
Have you ever thought about making the move permanent?
Yes, we've talked about it a lot. But I think a lot of our fans in England get bummed at how much we're here, which is ridiculous because we can't tour the UK anymore because the country's so small. You can only tour the UK a certain amount.
We should tour during our winters in the UK and here in our summers.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'd love to come over here. I think that, I'd love to live in Canada. I think it's a beautiful country. We'd love to be here. But I think it's just like logistically making it work is very difficult, you know. I think if we had the money, we'd be over here like a shot.
What's your favourite British expression?
British expression? We say wanker a lot.
Right.
We're very vulgar, our band. Probably saw our merch when you came in.
Absolutely.
It's pretty horrible, but like, we're very tongue-in-cheek. I think a lot of that comes from the fact that I'm so bored of the passé sort of metal scene that is going around the world right now. I think it's become so fashionable. And I mean, it's the metal that I hear, 90% of it that I hear these days, it's not even heavy. Being a heavy band is more to being a heavy band than standing up there and going chug, chug, chug on a guitar. That doesn't make you a heavy band. And so we've always wanted to kind of be a bit touchy and sort of piss people off. I was actually saying just before you arrived to our tour manager that we got an email today. We got a shirt with cunts written on the back.
Yeah, he showed me that.
Yeah, and we had an email from a girl in Edmonton this morning saying that we were pathetic and lame and that we needed to knock it off, which I just think is hilarious because it's those kind of emails are the reason why we do this kind of thing because it's just hilarious.
Send her a shirt.
Yeah. Well, all the people that bought the shirt last night at the show, they weren't complaining, do you know what I mean? But, yeah, I've got loads of... I mean, England's great. It's always nice. It's always a bit of a romance when you come to another country and you go there a lot and stuff. So I'm looking forward to going into the mountains tomorrow and stuff. That's going to be fun.
Prince William or Prince Harry, if you had to choose?
Neither. So bored. Royal family sucks.
Werewolves, zombies, or vampires?
I'll take vampires. Take vampires.
Right. What's sexier, men, women, little people, drag queens, or all of them at the same time?
Whoa. Take them all at the same time. It's everyone together, just, you know, just fucking. Pretty interesting.
When you stage dive into a crowd at your show, who do you aim for and why?
The hottest girl and with the biggest boobs. Cushion the blow,
right.
Maybe cop a feel on the way through.
Yeah.
You know how it is, sometimes you gotta do that.
To be wearing boots?
Of course you would, love your boots, kinky boots.
Thank you. Alright, well, thank you very much. What's up next for Johnny Truant?
We'll finish this tour in a couple of weeks, and then we're going to the States with Bring Me the Horizon and Misery Signals. On our first US tour, which we're really stoked about. So that's going to be really fun.
That's all right.
And then we headline the UK, and then I think we're going to hopefully be back in Canada in spring.
Lovely. Do you want to shout out your MySpace and website?
Yeah, it's www.myspace.com/Johnny Truant. And that is all we have. We have a blog, but it's so complicated that you just need to go to... I can't remember what the link is, so if you go on our MySpace page, it's all connected on there. And
nice.
It's pretty funny. It's just us moaning most of the time.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure meeting you, Kinky Boots.
Thank you. Enjoy your evening.
No problem. Take care. Run up the wall. Run up the soul. The violent measures of death and hell. In the blood cold and froze the breeze. The hellish cries that they must die. Swallow long, swallow. Swallow long. The crowd's back at the
is From the Mailbox.
Taking us into this volume's From the Mailbox edition, that was Danish band Powderhog with their track Sweet Bullets. This is also our contest for this volume of The Grind. All you need to do in order to win one of three copies that were given away of this brand new 11-song album from Powderhog is to send an email to thegrindprc@gmail.com and tell me what is the name of the record label that this was released on, the brand new Powderhog self-titled release. I would say use the internet. That's probably your best bet, unless you are completely up-to-date on your Powderhog knowledge. Let's get into another track. This one right here is called Coming Home Again on The Grinds from the Mailbox Edition.
Coming home again. Hold on, hold on. It doesn't matter where I'm.
Coming Home Again by Powder Hog. Now, if you guys have not secured the info that you need in order to make sure that you have one of the three copies of Powder Hog's self-titled album, brand new album, that we are giving away today, you could probably hit up one of these MySpace pages, myspace.com/powderhog. I was going to give another one away, but that would probably just give the contest away. I don't want to make it too easy. You know, you got to do a couple clicks at least to win some stuff here on Punk Radio Cast. So you can hit up that MySpace page or powderhog.dk. Find out the name of the record label that this has been released on and send that answer to thegrindprc@gmail.com. And we will be picking the first three people with the correct answers and shipping off a brand new sexy, might I add, sexy looking disc your way. Second up in From the Mailbox is a band by the name of Bullet Treatment. If you listen to Punk Radio Cast at all, you are probably familiar with these guys. Coming out of LA, this track, I think it's a brand new MySpace track. Possibly a brand new track altogether. It was called I Hate Children, and you can find it on myspace.com/bullettreatment. Coming up next, we've got another quick one from them. This is called The Bride and the Wolf off of a 7-inch split with It's Casual that we were actually given away a while back on Punk Radio Cast. That one's coming off of Basement Records, and this is The Bride and the Wolf.
Especially when I was
I was talking with Chuck the guitarist from Bullet Treatment the other day on the old interweb, and he was informing me of a future project that they are working on with Liam from the Cancer Bats. He's going to be lending his vocal talents to an upcoming Bullet Treatment track. Until we get that, we're going to hear something off of The Mistake, a 2006 release from Bullet Treatment. This is Already Dead. Been rocking sort of a pre-Halloween show here on The Grind, Volume 29. We're talking to Bats a little bit later coming up. Liam from the Cancer Bats. And I don't know about you, but when I have a little shindig thrown together for Halloween, or any reason I should say, I like to have a good party band. And that's exactly what these guys are right here. This is The Good Times coming out of Ontario with a track called Hey There, Hollywood.
We'll be right back.
party started for such bands as Alexis on Fire, The Flatliners, Ill Scarlet, and Fear Before the March of Flames. That was The Good Times. Check them out at myspace.com/thegoodtimes. You can hear some more music from them up there. Also check out, they've got some dates coming up in Ontario and Quebec. You can find out more information on their MySpace page. They are marking the halfway point, pretty much the halfway point, on Volume 29, this one of a couple, actually, pre-Halloween shows of The Grind on punkradiocast.com. We've got another one coming up on Friday. We will tell you more information at the end of the show. Let's get into our final From the Mailbox artist. This one is coming off of Small Man Records. This is a brand new release. CD just came out last Tuesday, I guess. This is a band by the name of Gravemaker. This track right here is called Drop the Torch. Vancouver, BC's Gravemaker with Drop the Torch. These guys are currently wrapping up the Through the Noise tour, giving support to Comeback Kid, Misery Signals, and Bane, along with a couple other bands. They have some dates left in Ontario and Quebec. You can find out more by hitting up myspace.com/Gravemaker. And as always, more music up there as well. One more Gravemaker track for you before we wrap up this volume of From the Mailbox. Not the volume. We still have the Cancer Bats. We still have a lot with the Cancer Bats coming up. Really good interview with Stacy and Liam. This last track, Gravemaker, is called The Boatman on The Grind Volume 29. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up? This is Liam. You're listening to The Grind with Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com.
Radio cast, and today I'm sitting here with Liam from the Cancer Bats. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good.
Awesome. How's the tour been so far?
Oh, tour's been amazing so far. Shows have been great, like all across the board. Started in Regina just a couple days ago, and then we're making our way east or west right now before we head back east. And yeah,
We've been to the West Coast a bunch of times, and so it's always been, you know what I mean, getting better and better every time. And the last time we came through was last February by ourselves before Hail Destroyer had come out. And so this time around, we're doing like the exact same cities that we did on that tour, but now bringing a package and now like the new records out. So it's sort of like, we're really excited about it because we knew all the shows were going to be good. Not in like a cocky way, but we were just like, well, we did this by ourselves and the response was amazing. So we get to go with our best friends and, you know what I mean, play all these great shows.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I'm really stoked.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your new record?
We have a new record called Hail Destroyer that just came out in April. And yeah, super proud of it. Just really heavy. Good times.
What was your goal from your first release, Birthing the Giant, to the latest release of Hail Destroyer?
I'm not sure. Huge, I guess, like, when we first put out Birthing the Giant, I guess, like, looking back on that, we were just trying to get, enough songs to put out an album and to, like, get, like, all these new songs that we'd been working on and kind of new ideas. And then, I guess by this time, like, putting out Hail Destroyer, sort of had a little bit more time, you know, touring Birthing the Giant and kind of figuring out what we wanted to do as a band and kind of realizing, like, how we wanted our band to sound and, you know, all the, sort of, like, the ins and outs of what we wanted to do. So I feel like this time, like, around with, like, Hail Destroyer, like, we've kind of gotten better as musicians and kind of understood, like, that we want to be this heavier band. And kind of stepping up and doing that on this record.
Are you happy with the response you've gotten from it so far?
Oh yeah, I couldn't be more than...
Pretty motivating?
Yeah, it definitely gets me excited that, you know, when you put a lot of hard work into something and then to go out and, you know, kids know the words and like people are coming out to shows and stuff like that, it's really, really awesome to know that like it actually pays off to like be working this hard.
The vocals in particular, they sound a lot dirtier and a lot more aggressive. What was that, a conscious decision that you made before you wrote it?
Not so much before we wrote it. It was more, I think, just that my voice had developed that way from playing so many shows live. So, you know, when we were doing Birthing the Giant, my voice was a lot weaker at that point. And then we played, you know, like 300 shows that year and then another 300 shows in like 2007. So by the end of the year when we were like... when we were going to be recording the record, I had already developed this, you know, much heavier voice. That even when we were singing, like, the older songs, like, that heavier voice comes through. So we wanted to represent that a lot more. And it was funny because we kept doing more and more takes of the vocals. So we would, like, re-record the whole song over and over again where the producer Kenny Luong, who was doing vocals with me, was like, you got to make this more brutal. Like, I know you can sing this harder. So he was really pushing me more as well, instead of being like, oh, maybe, you know, back off for a bit more melody. He was just like, crush this. Like, you're singing about coughing up blood, you know, and you're singing about Hail Destroyer. Like, you need to make this sound brutal, which, like, I'm so happy with how it turned out.
I see you made use of a few guest vocalists and collaborators on your album, namely Ben from Billy Talent, Wade from Alexis on Fire, and Tim from Rise Against. When you were writing the songs, did you have the vocal parts in mind, or did you approach them after to get involved?
It was definitely afterwards. I knew that I wanted to ask all of those guys to be a part of it, just because they were really good friends from touring and, you know, hanging out and being awesome dudes. So I knew I wanted to, like, get as many friends as I could to be a part of the record. And I think that's just, like, a big thing with, like, you know, punk rock and hardcore. You always end up having a lot of guests and stuff come along. And it's just, it makes the whole experience more fun because then everybody's, like, involved. But, yeah, it was definitely, like, we would finish a track, like, you know, Death March, and we were just like, you know, it would sound awesome if Wade was singing like these backups and harmonies and stuff. So he was in Toronto and came down, and same with Ben, like, had the idea for him for Smiling Politely that it would just suit his voice. And then for Tim as well, we were just like, this is our most melodic song, and he plays in one of the best, you know, melodic punk bands, like, around. So, we should just, you know, ask him. So it was wicked. But, yeah, I was trying to get a lot of other guests, too, but it just didn't work out. And we didn't want it to turn into, like, a hip-hop record. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. So, like, we definitely have a lot of friends that I asked, but it just didn't work out. Like, Matt from the Bronx... I really wanted to get to sing a song. I really wanted Andrew Neufeld from Comeback Kid and Travis Riley from This Is Hell. So it was sort of like I was trying to get all these people, and those were the easiest three. And Tim, like, finished his vocals, you know what I mean, right away, even though he wasn't in Toronto. And then the other guys, like, live downtown, so it was really easy. Whereas, like, you know, people are on tour, people are doing other things, so sometimes it makes it tougher.
In your video for Hail Destroyer, you're playing to an audience of real wolves, and they continue to eat the scenery and tear it apart. How was that, working with the wolves?
It was really cool, actually. We had kind of no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
Was it your idea or the director?
It was the director's idea.
Yeah.
Originally, it's funny, the idea for the video that Mark and I had come up with was that we were going to be playing in sort of like an old broken down house.
Yeah.
And that it was going to be full of like taxidermy animals. And then we came up with this idea, and then we left for tour. And halfway through the tour, I get a phone call from Mark, and he was just like, so it turns out that taxidermy animals are actually way too expensive to like rent. And he's like, but then I found out that it'd be cheaper to get real wolves, so we could just get live wolves in the video. And so I was like laughing on the phone, like, yeah, like.
Why did they decide on wolves rather than, say, cats?
I think because, like, in the idea of, like, the taxidermy animals, we were gonna get, like, owls and wolves and a lot of, like, you know.
Land animals?
Yeah, but I think also because, yeah, they're, like, more Canadian kind of animals. And for us, like, you know, if we had lions, it wouldn't really make that much sense. I don't know why wolves really makes much sense, but I guess that was maybe where he was coming from. But yeah, so it was like, couldn't get taxidermy wolves, so let's get live wolves. And then we couldn't put them in a house, so it was like, let's get a huge soundstage. And then it's funny, actually, those couches that they're chewing apart, we actually just borrowed them from the main, like office of 235 Films. So, like, we didn't even ask them. We were just, like, apparently the production guys just, like, picked them up and brought
them. Bring them in?
Yeah, exactly. So these wolves are, like, tearing apart these couches. And we're just, like, you can see the producer just, like, freaking out. Like, this is insane, but you can't really, you know, tell a wolf what to do.
Were you able to pet them or anything? Or?
Yeah, we had to actually meet all the wolves beforehand. So we went into a room, and one by one we would go in and kind of meet all the wolves and get comfortable with them. And, yeah, they're huge. That's the thing. Even in the video, you don't really, like, realize how big they are. And those wolves that are in the video are all, like, pups. Like, they're not full grown. And, yeah, it was insane. Like, just, like, how big and strong. And, like, their hair is, like, it's nothing like a dog, which is what we thought, like, be, like, soft. It's just, like, really rough fur and, like, really, really huge, strong animals.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, though. Because, like, you know, now I can say I've hung out with wolves.
Absolutely. You're touring with the Black Lungs and Johnny Truant right now. How has touring with them been so far? Are there any stories you want to share with Punk Radio Cast?
It's been awesome so far. The one thing that's nice is that we've toured with all of these bands, you know what I mean, before. So we've been touring with Johnny Truant since we first signed to Distort, and they first signed to Distort in 2005. So it's cool to kind of see, like, be touring with them and seeing both of our bands kind of growing in popularity. Like, even though they're from England, like, kids know the words, like, here, you know, and it's like going really well for them, so that's cool. And then the Black Lungs guys, like, it's all, you know, bros from Alexis on Fire, so we've known them forever. But we took them on our East Coast tour before we ended up doing the West Coast. So I was actually on that tour because Wade gets all of his friends to play for him. I was playing drums for Black Lungs on the, like, East Coast run, and then doing, like, a headlining set, and it was just, like, the worst. It was, like, best/worst idea ever, because I had a ton of fun, but I've, like, never been that tired for, like, a month of tour. I was just, like, this is retarded. So yeah, I was exhausted doing that. So this tour, I had to, like, tap out. So he ended up, it was awesome, because he ended up getting Pat from Bedouin Soundclash to play drums, and he's a way better drummer than I'll ever be, so it definitely was wicked.
You're going to be on tour with Funeral for a Friend this winter in the UK. How are you feeling about that? Do you think that has the potential to be a different kind of crowd and a new fan base for you?
Yeah, that's entirely why we did it.
Are you a fan yourself?
I knew about the band, I'll like admit. I was never like, you know, I didn't like know really too much about the band before we started the tour. But now that we have, I've kind of like gone back and I've been listening to the records and stuff, and I really like it. So I'm actually really excited, but we met the guys before the tour started when we were in England last, and they're all amazing dudes, so I'm really excited to be out on it. And yeah, for sure, when we got offered the tour, we were just like thinking for us it would be a great experience to just, you know, yeah, play in front of new kids and like hopefully, you know, have a good time. And I think their fans would be receptive to what we do, so I think it'll be a really good tour. And I want to say the whole thing's already sold out. So it's like, yeah, it's going to be an insane
it's
tour.
It's going to be the tits.
Yeah.
Sure. You created a video tour diary blog with yourself and Oliver. How's that going so far? I've sort of seen a little bit of it.
I don't know if any of the video blogs actually worked.
The written
part. Yeah, see, I've been doing my end on the written part, but the whole video end has been pretty much abandoned. I don't know. Like, I've been trying. We've been shooting a lot of stuff, but I don't know who's been editing it. So I've just been doing the, like, typed updates until the videos get done. So I think maybe those will get finished, like, later on in the tour, or maybe halfway we'll start putting up some of that stuff. Because we have some hilarious stuff that's on there. So I'd like it to one day see the light.
I can't wait to see it.
See the light of day.
Article hailed you as one of the bands representing the shape of punk to come, and a lot has been made about your ethics. And how much do you think of yourselves as being a straight-up hardcore punk band?
I think of ourselves as being a hardcore band in terms of, like, that's where all of us have come from. So, you know, we're very much like a part of the hardcore scene, and that's where, you know, all of us met and everything like that, and have kind of grown up. So I still think of us as being a pretty hardcore band, especially in terms of, like, kind of like the DIY, like, punk rock, like, aesthetic of, you know, trying to do as much as you can and being very self-sufficient, which we're, like, really serious about. So I think of ourselves as being hardcore in that respect. Whereas, like, we still fit in with the metal crowd, and, you know, we can play to straight up, you know, like, metal festivals and things like that. It goes over well. But, yeah, I'd say we're more of a hardcore band just in spirit.
What do you think of the state of punk music right now? How do you think it's changing, and how do you think the community has evolved in the last little while?
I think it's going awesome right now. Like, there's so many good bands that are coming out, and one of the things I would say...
You think it's making more of a revival than it did, say, 5 years ago?
Yeah, I think heavy music in general is making a big comeback.
I think it's making a huge comeback.
I think one of the things, too, is, like, I mean, so many different kids are able to find out about bands with, like, the internet and things like that, that I feel like kids' tastes have broadened, you know, because, like, they can listen to a metal song 1 minute and then go check out some punk rock and... whatever, maybe it's like the ADD generation, but the fact that people are into so much different stuff versus just being like strictly punk rock or strictly metal or strictly whatever, because you only had so much money to, you know what I mean, buy certain CDs. Now it's just like everyone's into so much. And you see that happening now more with like kind of crossover bands and a lot of different stuff happening, like as far as tours and stuff like that. So I definitely think it's really positive.
What can your fans expect at a Cancer Bat show?
Epic partying, I'd say. I don't know, we try and just have an amazing time, you know, every time we play, just because we love doing this. So for us, we're just having a blast and trying to get kids to headbang and rock out as much as they can.
What is some advice you would give to a band that's, say, starting out, where longevity is far and few between lately these days with bands trying to make it?
My advice to bands, I think would be to try and be responsible of, like, kind of everything that's going on, and I think there's a lot of bands that are looking to, like, make it, like, they'll, you know what I mean, get to a certain point, and then they want to get, like, a booking agent and a manager and, you know what I mean, a record label to take care of everything for themselves, whereas you're better off trying to do as much of that yourself and to learn as much as you can about, like, you know what I mean,
putting on the whole thing.
Yeah, doing shows, tour managing, you know, putting out records. Like, the more you can centralize that and figure it out on your own, the more it's going to benefit you down the line. Like, when you know how to, you know what I mean, get your own merch printed and book your own tours and have that relationship with, you know, tour managers and with booking agents and with show promoters, you know, like, all of that stuff is really important. And I think there's a lot of bands that are younger that think that they should be, like, distancing themselves from all of that, which just ends up hurting them in the end because they don't know how it all works.
And I noticed today you definitely weren't distancing yourself from your fans. You're right in there.
Yeah, I sell merch for our band still. So, I mean, and that for me is, yeah, a great way to just hang out. We, you know what I mean? We grew up going to shows where there was no rock stars or anything like that. So I think that's still something that we hold really important, is that, like, having that connection with kids. And
they get
that
so
excited. Yeah, that we're just people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which it is, you know? There's no difference between me and the bartender and the kid at the show. Mm-hmm. We're all just hanging out, having a good time on a Sunday, so.
Absolutely. Well, I understand there were some linguistic issues with your recent tour in the UK involving pants, cigarettes, and fanny packs. Do you care to elaborate on this a little bit?
Yeah, we, since we've been going over to the UK a few times, we've realized that while both of us speak English, Canada and Britain, that there's a lot of, like, expressions that don't really translate. I guess a lot of people know that, like, in the UK, they call cigarettes fags, which is, I've heard that it comes from, back in the day, they used to call bushels of sticks fags, and so that, like, a cigarette is, like, a small bushel of sticks, so that's why it's slang is, like, a fag, but I don't know why bushels of sticks are called fags, so who knows. So that was one that I guess, like, everyone kind of knows that one. The other one that we didn't know was, fanny pack, which, if you rock a fanny pack, you know what I mean, North America, everybody knows what it is, whereas in the UK, the word fanny is, like, another word for vagina. It's, like, a slang term for a girl's vagina. So I'm telling people that I have a fanny pack, and they're just, like, looking at me like I'm insane, like, what a vagina bag would be, or a vagina pack, but they call them bum bags over there.
Yeah.
So they're just like, oh, that's a bum bag. And so, yeah, that was a little weird. And then, the other one that we ran into, which was even weirder because it went on for a while, was the word pants. In the UK, the word pants is for underwear. And so when we go over, we were talking about, yeah, like jeans as pants or, you know, whatever. And so I was talking to a bunch of people about how I'd gotten girls' pants and I was really excited about these girls' pants. And they were just like, why are you wearing girls' pants? And it was just like, well, you know, I like the fit and blah, blah, blah. And it, like, kept going on.
Feels so good.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so much stuff that, like, this huge comedic, like, double entendre. And then it's like, oh, yeah, they're talking about underwear. I'm like, oh, no, I mean jeans. Oh, okay. Can we pause for a second?
Yep. What just happened?
A kid blew out his knee during the first band, moshing. And this is one thing that's cool. The security guard just asked if he could buy a CD that we could sign for the kid who's going home in an ambulance right now. And so I said I would give him a CD because that sucks. And yeah, so I'm going to sort that out. So that's what we just paused to have a little brief meeting about.
Nice. Well, that's very nice of you to do that.
Oh, I couldn't imagine blowing out your knee at a show. It happens.
It would suck right at the beginning, too.
Yeah, especially like, you know, you paid good money to come.
On a weekend.
Yeah, on a Sunday. You just want to have fun. Your stupid knee blows out.
All right, well, describe the other members using three words or less. Time for some fun questions.
Three words or less?
Yeah.
For the other members of the band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any words you want.
For Jay, J-Bone Malone, our bass player, I would say, epically huge beard. For Mike, I'm trying to think now. Three words. For Mike Peters, our drummer, I would say, best hugs ever. Big dude, you know?
Nice.
Best hugs. Big, crushing man hugs. Yeah. See, I was trying to think that because Mike's nickname is Bear. Because we went over to the UK and there was, he had a huge beard. And all these people said that he looked like a bear. So people would just call him Bear. So it was like, yeah, big bear hug. Bear hug man. Big Mikey Bear. I don't know. Okay, so there's two down. And then Scobe, or Scott, I would say call him Scobe. It's my three words.
Right.
Describe Scobe. Just a nickname that we've given him lovingly. We also have to say that he's the mayor of Scobe City, but that would be four, so that wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So we talk about him as, yeah, a very regal man. He's the mayor of a town.
When you stage dive into a crowd at your show, who do you aim for and why?
Big dudes.
Yeah?
Because they're strong and won't catch me.
Really?
Yeah. Or the kids.
Oliver
also
said he aims for hot chicks with really big tits and nice boots.
That's not a good call if you're looking to get caught. That's probably why he blew out his knee. It was probably why he was trying to stage dive on top of some large-breasted woman. See, I have a girlfriend, so I'm not looking for that. I'm looking to get caught and have a good show. Not thinking with my dick. Thinking with my brain.
Is it better to burn out, fade away, or accidentally die from autoerotic asphyxiation?
All of the above. Those are all good. Burn out, fade away, or die of autoerotic asphyxiation?
Yeah.
I guess the best one, yeah, would be to die during autoerotic asphyxiation.
Best way to get rich quick?
Sell drugs.
Why does every band say that?
I don't know, because we see drug dealers with so much money. Probably.
What's up next for the Cancer Bats?
We finish this tour, and then we go into that Funeral for a Friend for the rest of the year. And then, just more touring. 2009 is, like, already pretty much booked up for us, so.
More touring next year.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, we have, I think, maybe even 4 months solid where we don't come home.
Are you still writing as you're touring?
We're going to try, yeah. Actually, that's one thing. We're going to try and take off some time in January. To maybe start working on the next record. And then, because, yeah, as of February, we're touring until the end of the summer. So I think we're going to try and start up in January and work on some stuff then and just kind of kick around some ideas. And it's cool because this record's been going so well that I think we're all really excited to write more at this point. Like, we've gotten a lot of feedback, you know what I mean, from people on, like, the songs that they like and how things are going. So everybody's, like, excited to, you know what I mean, start working on new ideas. So, yeah, January. We'll see. In the future, I'm going to get tattooed tonight. I'm going to play a show.
I heard about this.
What did you hear?
That you guys are getting tattooed tonight.
I'm going to get tattooed tonight.
Told me about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get tattooed. Oh, we might do some stick and pokes, too. We might do some homemade tattoos. But I'm going to a professional first, and then I might do some homemade ones on people later. And then I'm going to try and sleep for 8 hours. Because I've yet to do that since this tour started. So that's my big goal.
Do you want to throw out your MySpace page and your website?
Yeah, if you want to check us out, we have a lovely website, which is cancerbats.com. And our MySpace is /cancerbats.
Well, thank you very much. An absolute pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great. All right, this is Stacey with Punk Radio Cast signing out.
Let's go!
The Cancer Bats with Lucifer's Rocking Chair off of their most recent release, Hail Destroyer. Just a reminder, your last reminder, in fact. Email thegrindprc@gmail.com and with the answer to what label Powder Hog's brand new self-titled release has been released on. And you could win one of three brand new albums that we are giving away courtesy The Grind and the good folks in Powder Hog. Thanks to Johnny for that. What's coming up next on The Grind, you might ask? Well, let me tell you, you don't have to wait long. This Friday at 1 p.m. Mountain, 3 p.m. Eastern, same time as when you tuned in for this, except this time it's Friday, not Tuesday. We are going to be featuring a show with interviews and music from the Seven Shot Screamers, great psychobilly band from St. Louis, as well as the Horror Pops. Right now, we're going to leave you with a track from the Horror Pops. Make sure you hit up The Grind's MySpace page, myspace.com/burnside780. And you can find out all the things that are coming up, all the stuff we've done in the past, and all the video that I've had time to edit and upload. Right now, let's get to that last track in this volume of The Grind. This is the Horror Pops with Mistake.